If you want to follow this story in your own Bible or in the Bible in the pew, then we're on page 1032 and we're reading from Luke's Gospel. That's one of the books in the New Testament, and it's page 1032, and we're looking at chapter 5, and we're going to read from verses 1 through to verse 11, and it's the story of Jesus calling his first disciples. One day, as Jesus was standing by the Lake of Gennesaret, or the Sea of Galilee, as it's sometimes known, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he'd finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." And when they'd done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of the Lord, and may he add his blessing to this reading this morning.
When you get to a certain age, you begin to think as much about the past as the future. I'm not sure what the age is, but I know that I've passed it. And that means that things that were once taken for granted or ignored somehow become more important. And at the same time, those things begin to shape our thinking. Or my thinking, all of which can affect our outlook and our understanding as well as our future. For instance, I've never fished in my life and I've had no desire to do so, yet I come from a fishing family. It's true. Both my grandfather and great-grandfather, along with several uncles, were all fishermen. And so I can recall stories of their exploits, what it was like to set off on a Sunday night in the fishing boats, to be away all week long, come rain or shine, to search for just the spot where a good catch was thought to be had, and how on Friday afternoons the boats would return to the harbour, usually with fish aplenty. And that's where the phrase "fish on Friday" comes from, by the way. Yet all of that was done in the face of risk and great danger, with the knowledge that many back home would be worried about safety and well-being whilst the boats, and in those days the men, were away. To me, all of that is simply knowledge, but to them it was experience. Real life, make or break. And for the most part in those days, it involved faith. Prayers were said, church was attended, and God was acknowledged in amongst the success And sometimes the failure of it all. Now, at this stage in my life, it's unlikely that I'll follow in their footsteps. But I have followed others in their footsteps. For part of my life experience was spent at a place called New College in Edinburgh. It was where I trained to become a minister. And during that time, I mixed with, worked with, and was taught by people who thought a lot. For them, thinking was essential. Yes, it was part of their job description, but even if it wasn't, they would still have done it, I'm sure. And their thinking concerned everything. The meaning of life was just the starting point. Then, in amongst that, there was the interpretation of history. There was the understanding of literature. There was ethical considerations to think about. And there were moral implications of all kinds of things. And in it all, and through it all, was a desire to respond to the needs of the world. But most of all, their thinking involved faith. It was rooted and grounded in a belief that none of us are an accident, and that the world and all that we know and understand didn't occur by chance. Instead, the people I got to know would say that there must be purpose and design. That this is the starting point that can't be ignored. Because to think in response to anything actually requires faith. For faith, when it describes God, says certain things. It points to creativity. It points to relationship. And it points to destiny. And so, if you're a thinker, it will become clear that when you put your mind to something, you're not doing so alone. For someone else has already put thought in motion. And if you're a thinker and are thinking about solutions, then you'll realise that those solutions are already inspired. And if you're a thinker and are thinking about practical application, then you'll realise that the desire for practical application began before you thought of it. In many ways, that's why the Bible includes Jesus' encounter with the fishermen. Part of what happened relates to God calling some of those men to be his disciples. But when it describes fishing and boats and nets and a great catch, we're being told something else. The meaning is that God wants people to be caught up with him, with his purposes, with his vision, with his solution for the world. And he wants as many people as possible to be a part of it. Yet all of that contradicts human understanding, reason, or logic. More than that, it uncovers something that we all need, and that is to know God for ourselves. But in knowing him, we come to recognize that we are far from him. That's why Peter responded to Jesus as he did. Because as impressed as he was with the miracle, it reminded him that only one person could do this for real. And that was the one who made the fish in the first place. Someone who knew where to go and who knew what to look for in a way that no human could. For God wants us to walk in his footsteps. His desire is that we believe, but that we think as well. More than that, be transformed in our thinking. That's what happened to those fishermen. Each of them went on to share the faith that they'd found and the belief that they had, but all in turn thought through the meaning of faith and its application to the world. And so when we read the Gospels or some of the epistles or letters of the New Testament, we read what many of those fishermen believed and thought. Today, more than ever, there's a need for many more to believe as well as to think. And that begins by realizing that faith and understanding can be combined. That it's not one or the other, but both that are required. And when that's known, life will change, bringing renewed interest in the past. To know what people have said or done, or how they've responded in any given way. And that will bring renewed purpose for the present and renewed expectation for the future in the knowledge that things can be made better, that solutions will be found, and that life for many will take on new meaning. Because by then, you'll know what it's like to go fishing, catching many more people as if with a net, but this time made with love. And by then, you'll know that thinking from a position of faith can accomplish more than might be imagined. And as for the age, when that happens, as I said earlier, I'm not sure when that is. But whatever age you are, you'll know it when you experience it.